from stpetecatalyst.com.
Welcome. Joining me today on Impact Catalyst is the chairman of the board for the St. Petersburg Conference on World Affairs, Diane Seligson. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
So you've been involved with the Conference on World Affairs here in St. Pete, even though we're recording this with you in Paris at the moment. Tell us why you got involved. What drew you to the conference?
I'm actually in the west coast of France, in La Rochelle at the moment, but I also live part-time in Paris. I'll give you a little history of how I got involved with the conference. I moved part-time to St. Petersburg towards the end of 2013, and because I had moved from France, people in my building in St. Pete told me, there's a Frenchman in the building that you absolutely must meet. And his name is Michel Amblard. It's a long story, but Michel Amblard is actually now on our board. But he's the one who introduced me to the conference. He told me there's a World Affairs conference going on in February, and maybe he'd be interested in going. So I went with Michelle and discovered the conference that was in 2014. And Michelle introduced me to Douglas McElhaney, who is the founder, one of the co-founders of the conference. And I told Doug immediately that it's something that I would be very interested in getting involved in. My background is as a journalist, working on international news. I've lived for over 3 decades, maybe it's 4 decades now, in France, working mostly in the media, and also doing a lot of work related to or in Africa. So between my experience in the United States, Canada, where I was a student, and I also worked for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for a little over 5 years, the United States, Canada, and France and Europe, and then Africa, I certainly was interested in world affairs.
That's wonderful. And just to get folks up to speed, the conference on world affairs will be a virtual event this year. It's coming later in February, and it's comprised of a number of different types of both panels and interviews and different media formats. Just to give some specific flavor, which are some of the panels subject matter that you're most looking forward to coming up this year?
That's a tough one because we're looking forward to the whole program. We're especially looking forward to seeing the result because, as you say, this is the first time that we're doing a virtual event. We never did anything virtual until now. We never even recorded any of our panels or other types of sessions in the past. So we're making full use of technology, thanks to our partnership with the St. Petersburg Group, who have the know-how to help us do that. As far as the events that I'm looking forward to, one of them is, I mentioned my interest and my experience in sub-Saharan Africa. We have a panel this year made up entirely of Africans from all over sub-Saharan Africa. And the panel is going to look at what Africa and Africans would like from the new administration, the Biden administration, going forward as the United States re-engages with Africa and the rest of the world. And this is something that in the past we wouldn't have been able to do. Africa's far away. We've been working with speakers who have been able to come at their own expense, whether they come from the Tampa Bay area or further afield, but getting people to be able to come at their own expense from Africa is extremely challenging. In addition, Africans, especially under the Trump administration, were almost impossible for them to get a visa to come. So the only way that we could get African speakers to participate in the conference was if they happened to be living in the United States, teaching at a university or something like that. So we're very happy that thanks to the virtual program, we're able to extend the program to a part of the world that we haven't been able to do so up to now. Another positive aspect of the virtual program is that we can extend our audience to people all over the world, including Africa, as long as people have access to the internet. And we've purposely organized the program, scheduled the program at times that make it possible for people at least all across the United States and Canada, Latin America, the Europe and Africa to tune in and watch the program in real time. Asia and Australia are a little more difficult given the time difference, but people everywhere will be able to watch all of the events, whether it be in real time or later on when they'll be made available.
When you talk about all these different countries that are both participating on in panels, but also in watching, how does that help St. Petersburg standing in the world? Why is a conference like this important for our city of St. Petersburg?
Well, that's very important because, you know, our nonprofit organizes and runs the conference is called St. Petersburg in the World, Inc. And that's the whole idea, to show that St. Petersburg is part of the world. And we try to bring as much of the world to St. Petersburg, but we also want to bring St. Petersburg to the rest of the world. And in my experience, living in part-time now, living in France, whenever I talk about the fact that I spend the rest of my time in Florida, people here say, oh, Miami. And I say, no, St. Petersburg, it's on the other side, it's on the Gulf Coast. But in fact, many well-traveled, educated Europeans know nothing about the Tampa Bay area and St. Petersburg. So hopefully the conference will open their eyes and maybe give them the desire to go to St. Petersburg and visit the west coast of Florida once traveling becomes possible again, hopefully in the post-pandemic world.
And, you know, I want to show you some appreciation. I mean, this is a four-day festival. It is no small feat to put on. And how hard are you working on this festival now and will you be in the coming weeks?
I consider this to be pretty much a full-time job, not necessarily 9 to 5. And especially with my being here in France, when it's your morning in the U.S. and in St. Petersburg, it's already my afternoon. So my days tend to go into the nighttime. I spent most of my time on the conference over the last 4 years, for sure, since I became president, but a lot of time even before that when I was chair of the program committee only. I'm now chair of the program committee and chair of the board. So it's a lot of responsibility. But the work is shared. I'm not the only one who's doing it. We have a very active board who each member of the board has expertise in different areas and knows different parts of the world. We also have an extended program committee this year, made up of about 10, give or take 10 people. And each of them has different contacts, is plugged in to the different pillars. Our audience may have noticed that we are now using this idea of pillars for the themes that we addressed during the conference. So, for example, we have Christian Bréchot, Dr. Christian Bréchot, who just through serendipity is one of the world's most knowledgeable virologists, and is he's the head of the Global Virus Network. And he was a speaker last year. I met him through the French Connection in Tampa Bay, an organization called Framco. And there was an event with the French consul who came from Miami for an event in St. Petersburg, and the honorary consul in Tampa Bay organized a little event for all the Francophones and Francophiles in the area. And that's how I met Christian. And thanks to that contact, I invited him to be a speaker for a panel that we did last year on the politics of infectious disease. And we had no idea that when we organized that panel that there was going to be this enormous pandemic. And when we saw that happening, we invited him to join the board. He agreed to, and he's now very much involved in all of the topics that we're doing now related to COVID-19.
Wonderful. Conference is coming up on February 23rd through the 26th. It is a free event. You can head over to worldaffairsconference.org and grab a free ticket or support the conference with a VIP ticket and get some nice items to come along with that. Any final thoughts, Diane, to share?
Well, I think it's important to let the people out there who are going to be attending this conference virtually, that this is the conference for them, and we would like them to get involved to the extent that they can and would like to. So we would like feedback after the conference is over, or even while it's happening. We encourage people to ask questions. There will be question and answer sessions after each of the panels or interviews. Comments, suggestions, what people like, what they don't like, if they have ideas for topics or for speakers for the future, we'd be very happy to hear from them. And if they'd like to, if the people in the Tampa Bay area who would like to be involved in a more hands-on way, they should please get in touch with us. So you mentioned, Joe, that this is a free event, and that's one of our principles, that the conference is free and open to the public. It's been the public in the Tampa Bay area, but now it's the public worldwide. But we do encourage people who are able to donate to go onto our website, worldaffairsconference.org, and do whatever they can to help us, because even though we have, we're all working pro bono, but there are necessarily expenses involved in organizing the conference.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it. And we'll look forward to a fantastic conference. I think it's going to be the best one yet.
I hope so.
From stpcatalyst.com.